WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Sucker you are.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG Films/1211. Oh, wait, I got that wrong. Anyway.
You got that. Try that one again.
youtube.com/MBG1211. Anyway, you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch. Thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. You're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash anime man, Sir Rockin.
So close. Just...
so close. I haven't screwed up in a long time.
First time this year?
First time this year. I made it into February. I feel like that's good. That's record.
It's good. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTLive to interact with us live tonight. Because we're still in a bit, which means we have someone else here.
That's right. Joining us as well is the ever faithful, ever awesome intern, Kane Kittens.
Rock, you don't have an intro? Let me see how it is.
I thought you had one.
I had a few, actually.
We have a few. They're very old.
Yeah.
They're not very updated.
Wait, does that mean we need to make Brent a new intro?
No.
No?
I don't think he needs a new intro.
That requires work on Rock's point.
And I don't want to make new intros that we don't really need. We really don't need them, because he's not here that often. So, but, if you want, because here's one. Here's one. If Brent wants an intro, Brent gets an intro.
Hailing from the corner, the assistant to the assistant regional analyst, the intern, Kane Kittens.
It's a bar. Everybody's working on.
all the time. It's a joy. No one understands. What a no.
There we go. I got a Fortnite intro.
Right here.
From 20,000 leagues under the sea, the busiest shark of them all. The assistant to the assistant regional shark, intern shark Kane Kittens.
No? I mean, I ain't mad.
Okay.
I thought you were going to field one.
From the Super Kick Party, the elite assistant to the assistant regional NXT analyst, the intern Kane Kittens.
NXT analyst? Jesus Christ, that's old.
That is old. That's really old.
Yeah, they're old a little bit. Oh, here's one. I got one more.
20,000 leagues under the sea, the busiest shark of them all, the assistant to the assistant regional shark.
And here comes Dakota Kai. Remember, she didn't. What the hell?
Oh my God!
What is Dakota Kai doing? Are you kidding me? Dakota Kai was given an opportunity. Dakota Kai is attacking her best friend.
Intern shark Kane Kittens.
Okay, so hypothetically that happened, and also, apparently, and not sure if this is covered in the news or not, someone's last match will be probably December.
It's not in our news, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, because it's not really news until it's news? Because it was a maybe?
But... Someone put out on a Twitter, or I'm sorry, a Instagram Q&A that they were probably going to not be performing after this year.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Unless the work
right now. Right now, their knees are being held together with, you know, chewing gum and chicken wire.
But if a big offer comes through, you know, things could change.
I think her chance at a big offer has, you know, left the building.
Yeah, well, you know.
She had a chance to get a paycheck, and she didn't want to do the job, so.
No, she would do the job, just wanted to do it longer, wanted the job to last a little longer. So, here we are. Talk about Tegan Nox, everybody, and the former Tegan Nox. Anyway.
Nixon Newell,
yes.
So I say with that, we jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. There.
Nailed it.
Yay! Nailed it. All right. So we're going to jump right into WWE Clash in Italy is set to take place on May 31st in the Annapoli Arena in Turin, Italy. Tickets go on sale March 13th, and it will be part of a massive, in quotations, European tour in May and June. On May 29th, Friday Night SmackDown will be in Barcelona. On the 31st, they'll be in Turin. June 1st, they will again be in Turin in the same arena. June 2nd, they will be in Strasbourg, Italy, not France, Italy. They will be in Lisbon, Portugal on the 3rd, Madrid, Spain on the 4th, Bologna, Italy on the 5th, Rome, Italy on the 6th, Florence, Italy on the 7th, Paris on the 8th, and good old London on the 22nd.
We have WrestleMania on April 19th and 20th. We have Backlash, yes, Backlash on May 9th. And then May 31st, Clash in Italy. So it's going to be three PLEs in, what, 7 weeks?
They're going to fuck us this summer again, just like they did last year, aren't they?
And then they're going to London. That's a halfway point to another country they're going to go to at the end of that week for another PLE.
Oh, God. Okay.
Which will be Night of Champions. It's not officially announced yet, but it's Night of Champions. We'll have it in the news next week, probably, in Saudi Arabia.
By the way, just so everybody is aware, there will be no Raw post-show between May 29th and June 8th.
Yeah, there's two of them. We're not going to be able to. So, hey.
With that attitude, there won't be.
We have content for the rack those 2 weeks. We have content on those Thursdays. Content has been confirmed. So
yay, content has been confirmed.
We're good there.
It's kind of interesting that they are focusing primarily on Italy, like really hardly focused in Italy. And they're kind of, they're not going to Germany this time. They're kind of, they're focusing, I guess, on Southern Europe this time.
Yeah, because they did other places the first, like earlier this year. So it makes sense to go somewhere else and not repeat. The only repeat is London. The only repeat, I think, is London on this leg. Yeah, but
they've got enough like time between that they're okay.
Yeah, and because London's going to be there, it's just the launching point to go to Saudi Arabia. So, anyway.
I have to look something up. Hold on. I'm live Googling.
She's looking things up.
Okay, so it is the one I'm thinking of, maybe. I'm like, Strasbourg is like a city in France, but I guess it's also a city in Italy, and maybe they share it, possibly. Although I always thought Strasbourg was shared by Germany and France, but who knows? Anyway, moving on. WWE and Dude Wipes have officially announced a new partnership. The men's hygiene brand has been named an official partner of the company. According to WWE, the multi-year partnership is highlighted by the first-of-its-kind integrations with superstars and enhanced match sponsorships at tentpole events. How are you going to integrate butt wipes with wrestlers? Anyway,
keep reading.
Dude Wipes is a disruptive brand that speaks directly to our audience, and this partnership allows us to showcase that connection the only way WWE can. From high-impact match sponsorships to unprecedented in-ring integrations with Dominic Mysterio, oh my god, they're going to send him out with ass wipes. This collaboration delivers a fresh, entertaining approach to brand storytelling at the biggest moments on our calendar. Can I talk to marketing, please?
I mean, he is called Dirty Dom for a reason.
Exactly.
Ass wipes are a tad much. I'm just going to be real.
It might be a patch on his gear that says Dude Wipes.
This is WWE.
Or that towel that hangs out behind his ass.
Yeah, the towel around his ass will say Dude Wipes.
Do you want the towel on his ass to say Dude Wipes?
Would you want his gear to say Dude Wipes instead?
Or would you want it to be the towel? The part of the shirt that hangs in front of him to say Dude Wipes. You could have it there.
I would rather have it in the front than in the back.
You'd rather look at his front than his back? Okay.
Wipe Tiny Dom Mysterio is what you're saying?
Yes. I don't know. There's something, it feels unsanitary that it's like you have something that says Dude Wipes that are ass wipes hanging off his ass.
It could go back to the Bo Dallas days and the Tiny Whitey gear and could be his gear that had the Dude Wipe sponsorship and just put it right on the back of that one. Yeah.
Well, God knows it wouldn't fit on the front.
Do it on the back, so, you know.
I don't know. Like,
also,
they do.
And also, it's for, like, SummerSlam, and probably not main sponsorship for WrestleMania. That was kind of interesting.
You know, if it's for SummerSlam, it makes sense. You're sweaty. You need to clean up.
Dude Wipes, for sure. It works.
Lindsay is over here cringing, and we're justifying it.
It's what we do, Brent.
I know they do. That's the thing. I know what they're for. They're not face wipes. They're ass wipes. That's exactly what they are. They are ass wipes.
And there's nothing wrong with ass wipes.
There's nothing wrong with ass wipes. I'm not saying there is. I'm just saying I'm not sure how they're going to integrate ass wipes into the in-ring product. And honestly, given WWE's history of things, I am terrified of what that could mean.
There's many things they could do with it, though. Come on. That would be so good.
So there's a lot of things they could do bad.
Are you saying that, like, it's okay to have, like, female hygiene products but not male hygiene products? I mean, come on.
They are not that ballsy to do tampons.
Good.
You never, in this economy, how much marketing they want to do.
Wait, Rock. Dom is their big person, right?
So, yeah.
That they've identified. Dude Wipe on a pole match.
I think that's a little much.
It's going to happen. Dom's going to be in it. It's going to be Dude Wipes on a pole.
Maybe. Possibly. But no, what they need, and what they need, is to bring back a WWE Hall of Famer for this collab.
Oh, God.
Do you know who I'm thinking of, Brent?
Dude Love?
No.
I'm a ass man. Yeah, I'm an ass man.
Yeah! Come on. I don't think that's going to happen.
Rock, I hate to tell you this. He's slightly under contract.
He was slightly under contract at the Hall of Fame, too. He's slightly under contract and in WWE 2K26. and 2K25. So that, you're okay, telling me...
Having his likeness is one thing. Him appearing as part of an ad campaign for Dude Wipes on WWE TV...
You don't need to show his face. You just show Mr. X. That's all you need.
Wait.
Actually, because technically another company with another star did break, in theory, contract, like a no-compete clause, that could be the payback. We never did hear how that got settled, so that could be the payback, is that WWE gets someone from them.
Or it's a stunt double for his ass. And just call it Mr. Ass. They did it before with Razor and Diesel.
Rock.
Does he own the trademark, though?
I don't know.
Or Brent. I know how they're going to debut this partnership.
Oh, God.
How?
The crate.
No. No, not the crate.
The crate it's has going the, to be the crate.
The crate has the Gerotron 5000.
But just think, Brock. They break open the crate, and you just see the back of someone, and he puts his arms out to the side, and in both hands is a package of Dude Wipes.
I hope there's not a dude in that thing, because there's no air holes in there. And they're going to keep him in there for like 2 weeks. He's just going to fall out dead.
Yeah. Also,
that's
for
how
trademark...
you stay fresh in the box, though, Lindsay. Dude Wipes.
Dude Wipes.
Do there's you no eat them, too?
No. There's no trademark for Mr. Ass, but there is a trademark for Mr. Half-Ass.
So, I mean, if there's no trademark, then technically they could get away with it.
So
hell, anyway, just use Brian James for it.
Oh, you didn't know? The amount of ass trademarks is kind of special.
Is it, though, in our world? Is it really?
Yeah. Rock,
would you say it's an ass load?
There's a trademark for clicking ass. That's all. I'm just going to leave that. It was for a clicking ass consultation service in the field of search engine. That's a thing. That's a thing. Moving on, he says.
Moving on. Alrighty. Pat McAfee is set to star in 4 episodes of Tulsa King on Paramount Plus.
Apparently they want him in Hollywood. Does Ari Emanuel. So reach for the stars, Pat.
I heard what ESPN is thinking of doing his special broadcast at the Super Bowl.
What, next year?
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
He does it for the national championship. He does it for some of the big games. I mean, if ESPN's going to do it, yeah, you capitalize on Pat because he has a following.
He does.
He does. So we'll see. Check it out for when Tulsa King, whenever it comes out, which I don't know when it comes out. I just know they shot it here. Anyway... Moving on to AEW, All Elite Wrestling announced that AEW Double or Nothing will emanate from the Louis Armstrong Stadium in Queens, New York on Sunday, May 24th. The event will air live around the world on pay-per-view and stream live on HBO Max pay-per-view. Tickets for AEW Double or Nothing will go on sale Monday, March 9th at 10 a.m. Eastern. So go get your tickets.
So after the low ticket sales of doing the... what's it called? Grand Slam events from the stadium, the tennis stadium. We're doing the pay-per-view there to sell tickets. Because every year it's gone down in people attending these shows. So this will hopefully drive ticket sales for them.
Here's hoping.
Rock, why are you a hater?
I'm not a hater. I'm just...
He's realistic.
Just giving the facts, Brent.
Oh, no, I understand. I totally agree with you. The only really big shows that they do is All In anymore. Everything else is best.
Anyway.
I think Collision's supposed to be coming here sometime soon.
Have fun. So, go.
That means you can be our on-site correspondent?
I ain't paying to go.
But Brent, it's going to be near you.
Hey, Lindsay, you're the AEW expert, and I know they go to Georgia a lot. Why don't you go?
Actually, they don't come here a lot.
No, we've talked about, you know, you going, and then you find out where it is, and... your neck of the woods, and your response is always, oh, hell no.
I'm not driving down to College Park for that. No. Do you know how long it's going to take me to get down there in traffic on a Wednesday? Absolutely not. No, that's not happening.
Well, also the thing when it comes to like this is Collision, which we all understand is the second show. People who want to try and be like, oh, there's so much that happened. No, it is the second fucking show. This is when, like, SmackDown was number two, and it wasn't, you know, as good for wrestling. It was just, oh, we didn't have much to put people on, so we're going to put them on SmackDown. And the thing is I don't even know who's supposed to be on that show, which makes it even more like I don't want to go spend money to go see this. Because I'll end up with, like, Wheeler Yuta as the main event. And let me tell you, that is not worth the price of admission.
Did they shave his whole head, by the way?
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
Hey, John Moxley is listed.
Moxley's on the poster, but there's no guarantee he's going to be on it. Although, I will say, if Brody King does come out here, he'll probably get a pretty good damn response.
It's kind of the response he gets now, doesn't it?
Well, especially here in Tucson.
Yeah.
The bluest of blue in this state. Yeah, he's going to get a good response.
Let's just hope he doesn't get, you know, in trouble with WB again because of...
He was not in trouble, so he's fine.
He didn't do anything. It's the crowd who's chanting, and so...
So the real answer to the story was they were traveling already. He was in Los Angeles traveling to Australia. That's why he wasn't on TV. Was
not I will say in trouble. If they were trying to avoid some chance, it didn't work this week with playing the aired interview with it, or the aired promo with him, because... If you heard, like, as soon as he came on the screen, the crowd just jumped in on it.
Like you do.
Yeah.
And it's a worthwhile chant. Honestly, it is. It's a worthwhile chant.
I mean.
Anyway, moving on. This next story. Oh, this next story. This is interesting. So, on May 16th, at the Inuit Dome in Inglewood, California... Live on Netflix, Ronda Rousey is coming out of retirement to make her return to MMA, and she's going to fight Gina Carano.
Who is also coming out of retirement to do this fight. And it's not for the UFC. It is for Jake Paul's promotion.
Yep.
God, that makes it worse. I don't want to call it a money grab.
No, it is.
I think they will call it a money grab.
But that's exactly what this feels like, is a money grab.
Oh, no, it absolutely is.
No, I believe she even said it's doing it for the money because she's trying to, in her, I think it was something like she wants to help Gina make money.
That makes sense because...
So that's why they're doing it.
That makes sense because Gina has had a bit of a rough time with things since she was removed from the Mandalorian. And I don't think she's gotten booked for much of anything. And then I believe she had a very expensive legal fight over being removed from the Mandalorian. So that makes sense that, yeah, Gina's going to come out of retirement to do the fight because she probably would like the money very much. And then Ronda doing it to help someone else is nice of her. I mean, if Ronda wanted to give Gina her money, that would be better for doing the fight. But... I hope it goes well. I hope it sells lots. I hope a lot of people watch it. They get sponsorships for it. It's of no interest to me whatsoever.
I think...
It'll be fun to see. Okay.
All right.
It'll be fun to see.
I think the notion of it is fun. I think the novelty is going to wear off very quickly once the bell rings. Not that Gina and Ronda aren't, like, you know, not that they don't stay in shape. I have a feeling it's going to be a kind of a cluster.
It will be better than Tyson Mayweather. It will be better than Tyson Paul. These girls will actually probably fight. And that's all you can really hope for, is an actual little bit of a fight.
I think it will be somewhat of a fight. I think it's going to be sloppy as fuck, though.
I never said it's going to be a good fight. I just said they're going to fight.
Only because both of them, if I remember correctly, both of them were very much... in the Goldberg Brock Lesnar style of get in, land your haymaker, or in Ronda's case, get them to tap as quick as possible, get out.
Yeah, they're there for the build up, and then whatever happens, happens.
If this thing goes more than two rounds, one, I'll be surprised, and two, it will get really ugly really fast if it goes more than two. I don't think they have the conditioning or the wherewithal to know what to do after round two.
No, I would argue. I think it depends on, like, how long they've actually had to train. That's going to be the key. Like, if this is getting announced now and it's going to be in May and they're only essentially going to have, what, two-ish months?
Three months to train?
Yeah, it's going to be shit.
No, but a 3-month training camp? That's
For fighting?
That's pretty good, actually.
That's actually really good. That's how you go hard for 12 weeks? Yeah, they'll be fine.
But, I mean, yeah, a little longer. They probably had this in negotiations since, like, I would say late last year.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but you don't ramp up training until, like, 2-3 months before the fight anyhow for the training camp. So they'll be both good. They'll be in shape. This won't be a Tyson money grab thing.
The only thing that could be an issue is, though, they've both been away for a while, and even though you have a 12-week training camp, if someone does pick up an injury during that camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a risk.
And I think that's the biggest thing is if they've been away for a while, and like I said, they may have stayed in shape, but as we talk about with, like, when Dwayne was coming back for Mania, we're all like, yeah, he looks fantastic. Ring shape is a completely different thing. You can look fantastic, but you've got to have your cardio and you have to be able to spar and take hits and all of that. And if you've been away, your body is not used to it. So it's one of those things of, especially because now they are a little older. And I mean, that's weird to say when they're in their, what, mid-30s maybe?
Yeah.
39 Gina, is Rhonda's 39.
Gina's 43.
So 39 and 43, so
a little bit up there in terms of your athlete ages. Yeah, this could be something where getting into that camp, you could, if you're not careful, get hit with something. And if that happens, then that being the headliner of this show, it's not like, oh, we can put in an equal level person. If that happens, the show's off. Because whoever your next in line is not even close to the headline that this is. So I hope for their sake, and I hope for the entertainment's sake, that they can both stay healthy, get to the fight, and put on a good show.
Let's all hope that. Let's hope they don't have to postpone it for any reason, because that would be awkward. So with that, I say we take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be doing a little borrowed segment that has all to do with Elimination Chamber. So you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Everywhere I turn, I'm on a mission for more, but I ain't selling myself with the dough. That's no goal. I'm on the one-way ride to the top. I'm hitting the strip. I got a sound that'll rally the block. I'm in the fast lane and I won't stop. You ain't nothing but talk. You couldn't hang on the profile ball. This life that I live, it ain't for the weak. I'm a rowdy-ass gangster that came off the street. I'm trying to keep...
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTRLive? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. I mean Prime Gaming. Or maybe it's just Prime. It's the easiest way to support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you, always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line! Go, go, go,
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rockin' Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Hey everyone, this is Angelina Love, your six-time knockout champion and the sacred seductress, and you are doing the right thing because you are listening to the Rack Radio Show. Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. And we're back. We're here to do an almost all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
Almost the all-time greatest.
Almost.
It's almost the all-time greatest. Because all-time greatest is like 32. Used to be 64. And Greater than Great Debate 64 used to be 128. So this is almost the all-time greatest because it's 16. It's a mini one. It's almost. It's almost the all-time greatest. It's close.
It's a petite all-time greatest.
It is. We have 16 of the all-time greatest Elimination Chamber match moments. Things that happened in surrounding the match itself. Because there could have been others, but they weren't about the match.
Cash-ins don't count.
That's basically it. So if you're wondering, hey, why isn't John Cena's heel turn? Because it was not in the match. Or a cash-in. They didn't happen in the match. They happened after the match. All right, so we have a bracket. We're going to go through. So Brent's here. Brent's here to be like maybe the deciding vote or just a vote itself. We'll see how we rotate through. I usually don't host these things. This goes to Brent usually. No, I actually do the all-time greatest. Brent does the greater than great.
I was going to say, you do the all-time greatest. I do the greater than great debate.
That is very true. All right. Round one.
I was going to say, cool, I don't have to read this one. Yay!
Yes. I mean, technically, I could just start, let you do it, but no, we'll save your voice. All right. It is Shawn Michaels super kicking The Undertaker. Coming up from underneath the chamber. Super kicked the dead man in 2010, taking on when Edge stole Kofi Kingston's spot by jumping him in the entranceway and then locking him in the entrance and then locking himself into the pod. And it's like, mine now.
Question.
Yes.
Was Shawn Michaels super kicking The Undertaker the same year he got set on fire? Or was that a different year?
That's why we had an intern. I don't remember.
Okay, Taker on fire.
In the Elimination Chamber. Make it sure it's specific to that because there could have been other times he was, in fact, on fire.
Elimination Chamber 2010 is when he was lit on fire.
Okay, it was the same year.
That was not a good night for him at all.
No, it was not a good night for him. So, Lindsay, you're up first.
Sean versus Edge. So, I have to put Sean over Edge. And the reason why I have to do it is because Sean's, I feel like, is just a little bit more iconic. Because he managed to sneak into the Elimination Chamber, which is incredibly difficult to do, all things considered, especially for the structure of the Elimination Chamber. Like, I feel like we don't see that a lot, if ever, to see someone actually, like, be inside the chamber when it comes down, and then they're able to, like, break into it. Normally they come through, like, the door, or we see attacks on the outside, like what Edge did. So I have to kind of put Sean over Edge on this one. What about you?
Yeah, it's kind of Sean on this one.
I can make a case for Edge.
Go make the case for Edge. Make this interesting. Make the case.
Okay. So the reason Sean was able to break into the cell was because this was back when it had the grating.
Yes.
And I want to say this was like one of the last years they had the grating. Because since then, they've done, not mat, but they've done, like, a different piece of the outside, where it's more, like, ringside.
It's straight. It's a mat. It's like a thin layer of mat over steel.
Right. Whereas, when Sean came up, he came up through the fact that it was, like, the metal mesh. And so, that precipitated him getting in. What I will say is, Lindsay was saying you don't really see people breaking into the cage much. As we'll see, there's a lot of people attacking other people.
There are a few attacks on here.
Elimination Chamber.
But they come through the door. That's the thing. Like, they don't actually come up through the cage.
Well, I understand that part. But the case I'll make for Edge is the following. We haven't seen anyone enter Elimination Chamber and leave Elimination Chamber as a champion, but with different titles. And that's what Edge did here. He entered the match, he entered the first Elimination Chamber of that night as, was it WWE Champion, Rock?
I believe he was WWE Champion, then walked out here as the World Champion.
Yeah, he entered the first match, lost. And so that's what precipitated him beating up Kofi Kingston, was to enter the World Heavyweight Title Chamber, which he then won and subsequently left champion as well. So it's that kind of thing of like, and don't get me wrong, Sean Super Kicking Taker was the straw to get Sean Taker 2.
Yeah, it was Sean trying to get the desperation of Sean to get to WrestleMania one last time.
Yeah, it was. He couldn't, or he got eliminated at the Rumble, and Taker was, for lack of a better word, ducking him, saying essentially like, no, I'm not going to fight you. And so it was Sean being ever so desperate. So what does he do? He screws Taker out of the world title in the Elimination Chamber. And that's when Taker's like, I've had enough of your shit. I'm going to end you now. But like I said, for me, it was the fact of like Edge entering the pay-per-view as one champion and yet leaving the pay-per-view as the other champion and solidifying that idea of the ultimate opportunist. Not just like, oh, I'm going to cash in, but like, okay, I can't, you know, I lost my title in the first match. I'm damn sure going to make sure I'm going to be in the second match, and I'll do it by doing whatever it takes, taking out a person and locking myself in the pod. To which everyone just goes, I mean, can he do this? I guess we'll go with it.
Apparently he can't.
So that's why Brent's here to make a case for things that are very obvious when Shawn Michaels super kick the Taker moves on. That's why Brent's here, though. He's here to make the case. He almost...
I play devil's advocate.
Yeah. It's what I try to do. So, here we are.
I mean, that's technically what I do on WTR a lot as well, is
just
I can tell where opposite. Something's going, and I'll go, well, I'll take this side, because I can argue it.
We'll argue the sides. Logan Paul sneaks into the chamber and attacks Seth Rollins back in 2023. Or Bray Wyatt winning the WWE title in 2017. Talked about this the other day, Brent. You were there for one of these.
I got to witness Bray Wyatt win his World Heavyweight Champion, or the WWE title, live in Phoenix. It was fucking amazing. I got to watch him pick AJ out of the sky and give him the Sister Abigail. It was awesome. But it was such a good atmosphere, too. It was one of those things of, like, I remember... on the network, we were talking about, like, if they're going to do it, this has to be the time. They have to pull the trigger here. And they did. And I can tell you, like, the arena there was so excited when you saw, like, it was getting to that point and it was going, like, oh my God, are they going to do this? And everyone got excited. And then when he won, like, everyone hung around. It was one of those things of, like, you know, the show goes off air and you're like, all right, cool. But, like, people were still hanging out, watching, and we had the Fireflies there live. It was such a good kind of ambiance for it. It was fun to see. Don't get me wrong, Logan Paul winning, or Logan Paul, like, sneaking in and doing stuff. Cool, it set up the match with Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. But as I've said before, we have a lot of people sneaking in and beating people up in the Elimination Chamber, so.
This one's an easy break.
I was going to say, if Lindsay did not vote Boo Boo, I would say shut down the show.
Fuck Logan Paul. Boo boo.
Jade Cargill attacks Naomi before the chamber match starts last year. We go all the way back to the first Elimination Chamber. Shawn Michaels wins the World's Heavyweight Championship for the first time 4.5 years, 2002. Lindsay?
Oh my God. I don't want to put two Shawns forward. But my only problem with, like, the Jade is, like, it was a cool moment because it was Jade's return, right? Like, they've been running this whole storyline between Bianca, Jade, and Naomi of who attacked Jade, right? Like, they did the whole Stone Cold thing of who attacked Jade in the parking lot. Nobody knows. And Jade comes back and she attacks Naomi and everybody's like, oh my God, what's going on? What do you mean she's attacking Naomi and Bianca's just letting it happen, right? Like, the whole thing. My only problem is they really, I feel like, did not pay it off. But the moment was cool, and we're judging the moment, but I'm biased. But you have to give props to Shawn because he won the first one. And there is something about being the first.
I mean, they paid off. Jade and Naomi at WrestleMania, and then at Evolution, they paid it off. They paid off the moment.
They paid off the moment, but, like, Bianca getting hurt didn't help.
Oh yeah, Bianca just, like, Bianca just had surgery, like, yesterday.
Yeah, hope she's doing well. Recovers to Bianca.
To fix the finger, finally, after 10 months, which is a bit of a struggle. So yeah. You're going Shawn on this one, right, Lindsay?
I think I have to.
I'll let Brent make a case for Jade. I think that's what where he was going. But
well, I was going to ask a clarifying question. This was Brown Pants Shawn, right?
That's where I was going next. He wins this alone for the brown pants that didn't look finished, with the cowboy boots and everything, because Shawn Michaels coming back, first time wearing wrestling gear in 4.5 years, and he chose that. So that on style alone wins him points. But number two, this was his second match in 4.5 years after the street fight with Triple H at SummerSlam that year, where he's like, and I think I could do this again. We're making this a comeback. And he comes back, and his second thing is a chamber match, which was the first of its kind. It's Shawn. And then, you know, Shawn being Shawn, a month later is doing three stages of hell. So street fight, chamber, three stages of hell. That's an easy, just easing his way back into wrestling at that point in time.
Go big or go home.
But you want to make a case for something, or are you going Sean too?
I could try and make a case for Jade here. I think for me, like, Sean coming back, you know, for the Raw Elimination Chamber, yes, cool moment in the brown pants, but, like, getting one over on Triple H and also, you know, like, having Kane and Rob Van Dam and all of them in this match, big deal. The Jade part was a bit surprising because, like, we thought that she would probably be coming back soon, but to me, the Jade moment isn't so much about Jade. She comes in, she wreaks havoc, she does what she's supposed to do. The bigger moment for Jade's thing is the acting of everybody else involved. And by that, I mean, like, Liv Morgan, who sold it like a champ that she was about to die.
Yeah, that's true.
Because when Jade walks out, like, you see her, like, in the ring, getting ready to fight. It's her and Naomi about ready to square off, and then Jade's music hits, and you instantly see her face drop and, like, that lip quiver and just, like, no, 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 this can't happen. She can't be here. And Jade starts walking out, and you see, like, she's starting to read her own last rites because she knows that she's about to get her ass kicked. Which played up well because the whole thing was, the storyline was, yeah, it was Liv and Raquel who took her out. And then as soon as Jade gets into the ring, she makes the beeline and then turns at the last second and starts to beat the hell out of Naomi right in front of Bianca. And Bianca does her part in selling that of, like, screaming, smacking on the cell pod, trying to get herself out, trying to, you know, talk some sense into Jade as Jade takes her all over the place. And then you had Bayley and Alexa both sell in their pods because when Naomi gets thrown into there, Bayley's freaking out, like, what the fuck is going on? And Alexa is sitting in that moment going, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, Jade is this beast that's just laying waste to Naomi, throwing her right against the pod that is separated me from her with one pane of plexiglass, which, by the way, we've seen doesn't hold well. And it could be like, Jade gets in there and you're next. So for me, that moment is all about the other players and just how well they pulled off selling for Jade in that moment without even having been involved.
Okay, so you want to give your vote to Jade?
Sure. I'll give my vote for that vote in this moment.
In this moment, Shawn Michaels moving on. We saw it last year, Seth Rollins stomping Punk, costing him the chamber, letting John Cena win last year. Or Alexa Bliss making history, retaining the Raw Women's Championship in the first ever Women's Elimination Chamber back in 2018. Lindsay?
I don't know. I think it was really cool that Alexa won and she retained. Like, that's a huge moment for her. Because in a lot of ways, I think that helped define her. But Rollins stopping Punk and stopping Punk from winning, that was a pretty big deal. Because that did lead to bigger things, and that will continue to lead to bigger things in terms of, like, bad blood between those two. And at some point, if they can stay healthy, they'll pay it off fully. I don't know. I think I gotta go Rollins.
So we'll make this one interesting then. For historical purposes, Alexa Bliss making history, winning the first ever Women's Chamber. That's a big deal. First of its kind.
Oh, was she that the first one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm changing.
No, no, you cannot change at this point. We were trying to make this one interesting and let Brent be at
the way you phrased it, though, it's Alexa makes history, retains Raw Women's Championship in the chamber. It says nothing about it being the first. You never said it was the first.
Words came out of my mouth. I did say it. But that's okay. It's for historical purposes. Alexa winning the chamber, being set in that stage for women in chamber matches. I'm going Alexa. You made your vote. Now pull him back because we're gonna let Brent do what he's here for. Tiebreak it.
Oh, you're gonna make me tiebreak. Okay, cool. I understand Alexa's role in history here of being, you know, the first chamber. Her entering as champion and then being able to retain. To me, I would say the bigger overall moment was Seth screwing Punk because that is tied in with what happened after the stomp. It's all one big moment. And it was one of those things where you thought for a second, like, Punk could kind of pull this out. He's on the way to doing this. And then Seth screws him. And it, as Lindsay said, it keeps that kind of thread there of, like, Punk and Seth despising each other and wanting to screw each other over as best as possible. And someone who just so happens, who we just so happen to see in that moment, capitalizes on that to punch his ticket to WrestleMania. For that, I would give it to Seth. I am watching, like, the last little bit of the 2018 Women's Chamber of three of the four horsewomen all together. So, or I'm sorry, two horsewomen against Alexa Bliss. So it's a fun spot, but it's also like, I got to give it to Seth, I think.
So Lindsay, do you want to flip your vote?
You said I'm not allowed to, so no.
No, because I wanted to make this interesting. Now it's tied again if you flip your vote, and you could break the tie.
No.
Okay. Rollins moves on. Up next.
You said no takes backies. Take backsies. No.
I'm just making sure. Making sure. Rob Van Dam crushes Triple H's windpipe with a frog splash during the first ever Elimination Chamber. Or the Boston Hug Connection winning the WWE Tag Team titles in 2019. The first ever WWE Women's Tag Team Champions crown. What are you thinking on this one?
I honestly don't remember Triple H's windpipe getting crushed. I'm going to be honest. So I have to give it to Boston Hug.
So... So RVD didn't do it from the top rope. He did it from the top of the pod. Kind of did a frog splash. It was more like just a regular splash, but his leg kind of nailed Hunter.
Flipped Hunter's head.
Yeah, right in the throat. Crushing the windpipe, kind of. He was out for a few weeks because of it. Yeah, kind of. That was a bit. So you're going Boston Hug. For the sake of content, I'll go RVD crushes Triple H's windpipe. Because there was a lot of heat put on RVT for that one coming out of it. And I'll make Brent break a tie again.
I have pulled up this match and I'm watching part of it now. It's one of those things, like, I kind of forgot that there was, like, the tag team Elimination Chambers. And it also makes me realize how kind of awkward they are. One, because you have two people in the pod, so you're not used to that. And two, it just puts that many more people in a controlled environment. And for lack of a better term, these are the people that are part of the women's elimination chamber, the tag team elimination chamber match. It is Fire and Desire, the Boss and Hug Connection, Nia Jax and Tamina,
no one's Mina.
The Riot Squad. What?
No one's Mina and Tamina.
God damn you. The Riot Squad, which was Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan, not, you know, Ruby Riott. The Iconics, and Carmella and Naomi. Now, there are times when we talk about an Elimination Chamber and you look and you're kind of like, I don't know about some of that. For this, I'm kind of looking like Carmella and Naomi, Nia Jax and Tamina. Shit.
I mean, Nia and Tamina were the Bloodline team. Then Naomi and Carmella were doing the dancing thing together at that point.
Yeah, and I mean, we remember, you know, Mandy Rose and Sonya.
That was that was their peak for at that point.
Yeah, that was their apex. This was pink-haired Liv and Blue Tongue. And back when Sarah Logan actually, like, I don't know, I guess kind of wrestled.
Before she had kids,
before she was turned into, you know, antlers and just didn't do anything. But, it's one of those, like, when I look at that Elimination Chamber, it's like, the biggest thing about it was, sure, they won the inaugural tag team championships. But other than that, can you really tell me anything about that chamber?
No.
Like I said, it took me, like, watching it and going, oh yeah, those people were in it. Oh, they were actually a tag team. Huh. Whereas, when you say Rob Van Dam and Triple H, the first thing that comes to mind is, yeah, Rob tried to go for that frog splash and just botched it. Did not do it. But it also is that kind of thing of when you get into the Elimination Chamber, like, it's a cool idea to jump off the top of a pod. Especially then you get into the logistics of it.
Especially being the first one to try it.
Right. And if anyone was going to do it, it's like, okay, yeah, it's going to be a Rob Van Dam or a Jeff Hardy. either of those two were dumb enough to try it for the first time. But it's like, okay, you get up there and jumping off the pod, you realize, like, yeah, you can't really get, like, the hop off of it that you can the top rope. You have a little bit of a clearance error with the it's like,
You could do it more
now because it's square. Now you get more because it's squared and you have higher height. Back then,
right? They built it, but I was going to say with the first chamber, you know, the early chamber, they didn't anticipate like, oh, again, it would be really cool to go off the top of it, and then it's like, oh, this doesn't work well. So then it becomes okay. We're going to get it a little bit more height. We'll do stuff, and you turn into things of like Montez Ford, like climbing to the top of the cage. So not just the pod, but like scaling so that he can do the, not moonsault, the 450 or whatever he did off the top. It gives you a little bit more wiggle room. So that's why Ruby Riott wasn't in the cell. She was fighting Ronda in a minute, 40 seconds. She probably belonged in the cell more.
So RVD?
I'll go RVD as the bigger moment, which is what this kind of is.
All right. Batista screws Randy Orton, allowing Triple H to win the vacant world championship in 2005, or Brock Lesnar F5ing Austin Theory off the top of the chamber pod in 2022. Lindsay?
I mean, I will say this. It is very rare we see Brock Lesnar do something that exceptionally stupid. And it was a fantastic moment. Like, it was legitly badass. I feel like, though, that, like, Batista screwing over Orton had longer-lasting implications. Because that was really Orton's, like Orton being kicked out of Evolution and, like, him being sent out on his own. And that was really the start of solo Randy and that climb. And I think we got the Legend Killer not long after that. And, like, that kind of stuff.
To add on to that, it was, like, this was Batista, like... Is he going to help Hunter? Because they were setting the seeds for Batista turning, which he did a month later.
Yeah.
But this was like, huh? Does he help Triple H or does he screw Warren? And so he did, helping Hunter on that one. That was the genesis there.
So I think I have to give it to Batista screwing Orton, just because it's like Brock. The Brock moment is fantastic. Like it's viral worthy, but it's a moment, right? And I think in terms of, like, some of the other stuff that we've already discussed, I think Batista screwing Orton had a longer-lasting impact overall.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm going Brock, because that bump Austin Theory took was crazy.
Oh, he deserves full respect for it. Absolutely full props. Full respect for that. Like, goddamn.
I know, historical moment for Batista, Orton, Hunter things. And I'm usually would go Evolution type things, but I kind of like the Brock one better just because Brock sent a man flying off the chamber cell pod and just sort of, that was a fall. That was peak Brock not giving a fuck error, right?
So I will say the Batista Orton's chamber match, pretty fucking stacked when you look back at it.
Oh yeah, because it was a vacant world title in play.
Right, but not just a vacant world title, but it's also one of those things that, like we've talked about, usually there's, like, one person that you put in there. You know, I'm going to say it. When Edge took out Kofi was one of those people you looked at, you're like, should he really be in the cell? And then Edge takes him out, and you go, that's why.
But no, the Raw main event scene in 2005 was kind of stacked with names that were established or established or becoming established.
Here was the cell match. Triple H, Randy Orton, Batista, Redacted, Edge, Jericho.
Plus, who was there also in that match?
Shawn Michaels as the special guest referee.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty hype.
Yeah, that is a buku main event right there.
Also, props to Shawn for just doing the ref spot and not wrestling in the said match.
Yeah.
And this I think this was in Puerto Rico, too.
New Year's Revolution 05.
Or is that another year? It might have been another year.
New Year's Revolution 05. No, it was in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
January 9th, 2005. So this was before Batista won the Rumble.
Yeah. This was setting the stage for all that.
Yeah. But it was that, like, I mean, that's a really big match with all of them involved. You know, Shawn, special guest. This gets Hunter that world title. And then Batista wins the Rumble. And then he gives him the thumbs down. And yeah. We all know what happens. That being said, for that, and I mean, I'm giving it all props in the world. There is something about Brock Lesnar on top of a pod throwing Austin Theory off like nothing, and Theory taking that bump like a motherfucking champion. I kind of have to give it to that, because that is absolute, and I mean, it's not peak Brock, like, no give a fuck. It is just peak Brock Lesnar of, like, we just talked about a spot on top of the chamber before where you look at it and you're like, oh, something like this would be really cool, but it has to be done in the right way. And RVD did not do it in the right way. Brock throwing him off and Austin being able to land as well as he did and all of that coming together is a fantastic moment. And it's just one of those things, like, you watch it and you just go, oh my God. It takes you out of, like, a wrestling fan for a moment, and you just, like, sit there in awe of just the spectacle of it, of one person fucking another human being like that.
So Brock.
I'm going to have to go Brock in this case. I might not move it past this point, but it at least deserves one round of acknowledgement.
The Wyatt family attacks John Cena, setting the stage for Kane, who had to get the Wyatt family out of said chamber, to attack Daniel Bryan in 2014, or the New Day wins the first ever tag team elimination chamber match in 2015. I think this one's an easy one. I think it's the Wyatts on this one. I know Brent could make a case, but if you could, he could go read the tag teams in the first ever tag team chamber match, and they're probably not that high level.
What was it, 2015? Hang on.
Yeah, do it really quick.
Research. I mean, you have the double attack. That's pretty spectacular. Because Kane was in the Authority, right?
Yeah, that was the Authority area.
Yeah, Brian was still nursing the shoulder at that point. So, the tag team elimination chamber match for the tag team titles. We had the New Day defeating the Primetime Players. You know, millions of dollars and millions of dollars and millions of dollars. Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, facts. The Ascension, who did nothing on the main roster. The Lucha Dragons, Kalisto and Sin Cara. And Los Matadores, Diego and Fernando with El Torito.
So yeah, everyone's in agreement with my family and Jack and Kane, right?
It's what?
You're with the Wyatts and Kane on this one? That's an easy just sort of...
I... Remember what I said earlier about tag team chambers and how they kind of come across as clusterfucks at times? Zibbiday.
Yeah. All right. This one, we don't have to put much thought into the next one because it's kind of just two big moments. It's Goldberg spearing Jericho through the pod in 2003. It was a vicious spear. WWE ranked it as like number two moment at that time a couple years ago. Or John Morrison diving from the top of the chamber in 2011.
Ooh, that's tricky.
Remember when I talked about Montez Ford going to the top of the cage?
Yeah.
This was daddy. This was the precursor.
Morrison walked so Montez Ford could run.
Yeah.
I'm going Morrison on this one.
I kind of got to give it to Morrison just based on past logic. Like, the Goldberg moment's really good, and it's really vicious. But, like, I have to give it to Morrison just based on past logic.
Oh, God, I forgot. This was Nexus era Punk.
Yeah, but this is... So you go Morrison?
Yeah.
Brent?
Morrison spot, really cool. Oh God, R-Truth was in this match too? Jesus. Morrison spot, really cool. He also sold the leg injury from it, or as part of this match, really, really well. But there's something about Goldberg's spear and putting Jericho through a pod that just, you gotta appreciate.
Alright. Well, Morrison moved on anyway. Despite your attempt to push it on. John Morrison's dive from the top of the chamber roof, taking on the Wyatt family attacking John Cena and then Kane's attack on Daniel Bryan to follow.
I mean, it's a 2-for-1 attack there.
It is a 2-for-1-er. I think that moves on.
Two attacks are better than one.
I think the Kane one was like a little bit unexpected, right? Even though it was like somewhat expected because they were feuding with each other. But it's, you know, it was... One of my favorite incarnations of Kane is Authority era Kane, just because it was so different than anything else he'd done previously. And there was kind of like this air that Kane was working with the Wyatts just a little bit. Like there was that are they or aren't they? Like, they're coexisting, and I don't like that they're coexisting. That's a little scary. And then there's just pure stupidity on John Morrison's part. So I think the Wyatts.
All right, an easy move on there, but it's now time for Rob Van Dam crushing Triple H's windpipe or the Brock Lesnar F5 to Austin Theory.
I gotta go Brock. I'm sorry, I do. Like, if we're going pound for pound, like, throwing somebody off of something, Brock. It's Brock. Because, like, RVD's wasn't intentional. It was accidental.
For me, I'll jump ahead on this one, Rock. I'm gonna vote Brock. Simply because there's one guy tried to do something off the cage, it didn't go well. It didn't land well. One guy did something off of the pod, did it perfectly.
Yeah.
I'm going with the better execution.
See, Brent, this is why you shouldn't jump the gun. Like, you're entering the Rumble too fast. Would have been made a little bit more intriguing because I was going with RVD.
That's fine. You're wrong, and the votes prove it, but cool.
But like, it could have for the anyway.
I could have for the moment, and then
for the moment for the drama.
But
I'm gonna let you finish. But
yeah, I hate producer people. There,
Rollins stopping Punk, costing him the chamber in 2025, or Shawn Michaels winning the first ever Elimination Chamber. Mm. While she decides, this one's easy for me. Historical value, Shawn Michaels.
I kind of want to go Rollins and Punk.
Then go Rollins and Punk.
I'm going Rollins and Punk.
Now we got a tiebreaker, Brent.
This one's not that hard for me. Rollins, Punk, I talked about it earlier. Cool moment. Kind of keeps their feud going. Helps set up the eventual turn from John, capitalizing on the moment. But you have to go Brown Pants. You have to go with Shawn, in my opinion.
All right, Shawn Michaels moves on. Shawn Michaels super kicks The Undertaker. In 2010, or Bray Wyatt winning the WWE Championship.
There's no good outcome here. I see where this is going, and there's no good outcome.
Well, I mean, Lindsay, who do you love, Taker or Bray?
honestly? Okay, so the Taker-Shawn moment was really cool, and it led to a bigger match. It gave us a fantastic match, of which Shawn Michaels retired temporarily. However, the Bray moment was a really, really, really cool moment. It was his very first world title win. I think he was the first member of his family to win that title. Like, I know his father never held it, and I don't know about his uncles or his grandfather. But I know that it was like at least...
Never mind.
Huh?
I was going to say, what about Bo? Never mind.
Bo had just hasn't believed hard enough yet. But he was the first one to hold it, at least of his generation and his family. And it was just a really meaningful moment because it was a long time coming. All of us wanted it. And it was the right call at the right moment. And you saw it. You know, we all saw the reaction. Everybody was ecstatic. I have to go boo-boo. If nothing else, just to stop us debating two Shawn moments.
It's tough because Bray Wyatt winning is a big moment. It was a big deal at that time. But then there's Shawn screwing Taker, leading to the retirement angle. Also, Taker getting burnt on the way to the ring. That gets some bonus points thrown in on there because he was set on fire.
Shawn Undertaker? Smoked
Undertaker. By the way, Smoked Fiend is available in WWE 2K26 through the MyRise story that you're going to lock. So get ready for that one. I'm going to go Shawn. I think Brent's going to go Bray.
I have to go the emotional attachment of being there, of seeing it, of... and also just as Lindsay kind of touched on, it's someone that we had been sitting there for a while going, you need to pull the trigger or it's never going to happen. You need to pull the trigger at this moment or he'll never get it. And finally, in their vision, and I mean, this plays into the fact of, you know, WrestleMania and setting up him and Orton, but it was that, like, they finally pulled the trigger and it was like, okay, you made the call. Shawn and Taker is a fantastic moment. It's a great spot of Shawn screwing Taker, and you saw just the utter desperation of a guy who's like, he knows this is his last chance. This is the only way he can get this thing he wants so damn badly, and it's to screw the biggest dog in the yard of winning the world title. And it's like, as soon as you saw Sean screw Taker, and you, as a fan, you're going like, oh my God, I can't believe this. You start to realize like, okay, yeah, this is going to happen now. And then we saw the stakes that were added of, you know, Taker basically like, if we're going to do this, your career is on the line. Like, you've got to put skin in the game. You cost me, I'm going to cost you. But I still have to go, like, emotional, and this is just me personally, I have to go emotional attachment of, like, being able to see it there live, be there as part of that moment. So.
All right, Brian, move on. The Wyatt family attacks John Cena, Kane attacks Brian, or the F5 from the top of the pod. Lindsay?
I'm thinking. I think I have to go with the F5. I'm so sorry, boo-boo. Wow. But I think I have to go there with it just because I think, like, the double attack was really cool. But if we're going for style points, I think the F5 wins.
I'm going to go Wyatt family. Because it was a double attack. It led to something bigger at the end because it set up John Cena and Bray Wyatt. It set up Daniel Bryan's authority bashing and the Yes Movement and all the things, putting Daniel Bryan in the main event. Because the authority was against him at that point, because this led to Brian and Hunter. Yeah, I'm going to go Wyatt family.
Brent?
I know the double attack set up WrestleMania 30 in several ways. As you said, it set up Cena versus Bray. Unfortunately, it set up Cena versus Bray. And we all remember that.
It was a good match.
Kick-ass entrance. Entrance was cool.
Entrance was cool, but it...
outcome was bullshit.
I was going to say the thing about that is overall match was fine, but it very much typifies that moment of you got to pull the trigger, didn't pull the trigger. You got to do this, didn't do this. It wasn't until the chamber in 17 or, you know, in 2017 when it finally pulled the trigger. So with that, I'm like, and yeah, Kane jumping Daniel Bryan, beating him up, setting up, you know, the full authority angle, and Bryan overcoming Triple H, getting into the main event, winning at WrestleMania 30. Fantastic stuff there. Great WrestleMania moments. There's just something about Brock Lesnar hucking him off the top of the cell that's just a moment. And I want to say, like, that was the final pin of that match to win the world title. Right, Rock? Like, Brock had obliterated the rest of that chamber match. Just came in, boom, 1-2-3, boom, 1-2-3, boom. I mean, they did the similar thing with, what was it, Shayna Baszler when she got into the chamber that one year she was. It was just like, boom, 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 clearing people out to try and make a statement. But there was something about Brock hucking him off the cell, making the pin, getting the belt, and setting up the winner-take-all match at Mania that you're just like, for God's sake! Right, I think I'm going to go Brock.
Yeah. Bray Wyatt wins the WWE Championship. Shawn Michaels wins the World Championship in the first ever chamber. Mm-hmm. I'm partial to Shawn, so I'm going Shawn. She's partial to Bray. She's going to go to Bray. And Brent's going to go Bray because he was there, right?
This is one I'm really on the fence on.
All right.
It's really hard because you made a great argument earlier. Shawn coming back, his second match from his return after all of his shit. The first one being a knockdown, drag out, beat the high holy hell out of each other street fight with Triple H. I want to say this was first time, like, short hair Shawn, right?
Short hair. Yeah, short hair Shawn with the bob. they was growing back out after coming back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was this the Lord Farquaad?
Yeah, that is kind of like early AJ style.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. It was the pre-AJ AJ. So there's something about the fact of like Shawn coming back in his second match in the first chamber, winning the world title in the weird gear. But again, like, there's something also about, and I know it's mostly a personal reason, but like being there, seeing it, having someone that you root for get their moment. And especially because like this is the height of course, Super Cena, and Cena is eliminated in the match, and it's between Bray and AJ in the very end. And it's just like, oh shit, someone's walking out of this with the world title. I'm kind of here for it.
It was 16 for John, and it really wasn't. I would say this was the tail end of Cena because he He had one foot out the door at this point.
He did, but it was still the matter of, like, when John's in a match, it was lol, Cena. I think this was also the beat-up John Cena era for AJ.
It was.
Hence the why he was in the match and he screwed John.
Because John won the title 3 weeks before the Rumble off of AJ.
Yeah, and so when John got eliminated, that's when everyone looked and went, oh, we're getting a new champion. Okay. So
yeah,
that
and then
was...
it's like, are they going to do it? Are they really going to do it? Because I remember us watching it together, and it's, oh my God, are they really going to fucking do it?
Mm-hmm. And like I said, I remember I'm there, and it's just like, okay, I see John in there. And John gets pinned, and everyone in the crowd kind of like turned to each other like, oh, okay, okay. And then we got those final two, and everyone's into it because you were cheering for AJ against John because, again, beat up John Cena, and you're kind of over John. And Bray, you're just waiting to see, like, are they going to do it? And they did. And it was a very cathartic kind of moment. I think, though, I've got to look at this. I think I'm overriding my personal emotion and having to go with the fact of, like, it's Sean. It's the moment he came back after all of his shit and he kind of, like, got himself in order.
Go Sean.
So I'll go Sean.
So Sean...
Excuse me.
Takes on the Brock F5 in our final.
I think you can't deny the power of the brown pants.
He wore the brown pants.
I don't think you can deny the power of it. Like, in comparison to Brock, in comparison to every reason that the Sean moment has gone through versus, like, what the Brock moment has gone through, Sean's is stronger. So Sean.
I agree. I'm going with Sean.
Do you want to try to make a case for Brock?
I mean, I can try and make a kind of case, but ultimately, like, I'm going to say Sean. But the thing is, like, to me, it's the thing of it's one little moment versus the entirety of the first chamber, Sean coming back, the people involved in the match. It just leans Sean in that point.
So in the almost all-time great Elimination Chamber match moment, Shawn Michaels wins the world's heavyweight title all the way back. At the very first. There you go.
Bray Wyatt run one in my heart, okay?
I mean, sure.
But anyway, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday night, CB Radio, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday night, they preview the Elimination Chamber. On WTR, Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show. When Raw ends, we're live to talk about it. And we'll be back next Thursday night to talk about the Elimination Chamber on the Rack at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com. It's Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat if you have Amazon Prime. Link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming? No. Twitch Prime? No. Just Prime. Kick the purple button below the screen. You can use Creator Code Rocket Sock or...
Lin's Inward.
In the Fortnite item shop or Epic Games Store when you buy... Power Rangers solo leveling and more. Because we are
Hashtag Epic Partners. Britt, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Sure. You can find me on various social media, X/ Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, at Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. You can also find me Saturday nights on CB Radio, Sunday nights on WTR, where I'm trying to keep my sanity from a Canadian. One day at a time,
you're
back up against the wall.
I'm still standing here. Okay, I'm still standing tall. If you're trying to keep your sanity from a Canadian, I'll have to hear more about that. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWD. You can check me in on Twitch, twitch.tv/Linsward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimbleLinsward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Linsward0. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, head over to Matt's channel, MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211. Go tell him we said hi. So for Brent and for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WallTalkRadio.com. And we will see you next week. Bye. Man on a mission, that's me, to be what I'm destined to be. Man on a mission, that's me, to be what I'm destined to be. This is your life, this is your story, this is your moment. You gotta go for the glory, you gotta
take what's yours and never give that back. Believing in yourself, you gotta live like that. Now look at the boy, I got a family tree. Now watch this bruh, cause you know me. It's rounds and flip tones, we be killing the beat. It's time to go to battle, no surrender retreat. I hustle to make it, I gotta go.
WildTalkRadio.com.